Two nights ago, against my better judgment, I sat down and wasted 1 hour of my life watching the debut of the new reality show, Most Eligible Dallas. It's being broadcast on the Bravo network. And as Jersey Shore paints folks from New Jersey in what I think is a poor light, and Real Housewives of the OC paints people from Orange County in a bad light, I think Most Eligible Dallas does even more damage to all of us who live here in the Metroplex, and specifically Dallas.
No doubt.
The cast is made up of five or so Dallasites. They're all young and hip and about town. There are two women, Tara, who's a bleach blonde with big boobs and lots of money.
And what's her job?
Well, we'll get there. Courtney, who is, I guess, the little more down-home girl, but she's also way too into herself.
Nut alert.
And then there are guys, Drew, who is very gay and lives in Uptown. Matt, who is none other than Matt Nordgren, the former Bishop Lynch quarterback, former Texas Longhorn quarterback. And he even came out to one of our tryouts for the quarterback bowl and volunteered to throw passes.
Really?
He seemed like a really nice guy that morning we met him.
Mm-hmm. Probably
Man,
is.
In this show...
He's Chris'd out, hasn't he?
He is Chris to the max. And then there is Glenn, who we'll get to here in a little bit. He is... If Matt is Chris to the max, then Glenn is Chris to the max, max, max.
Yeah. Max plus, plus, plus.
And don't forget Neil,
and
the other
Neil,
blonde.
Yes.
She is... That Neil is a girl.
Yes.
Right.
Little,
yes.
Small little hot number.
Three girls, three guys. And the cameras, as with any reality show, follow them around Dallas and their everyday lives and their problems that they run into.
Yeah, they have tough ones. Like, all right. Go salmon for dinner, or what am I doing?
First is Tara, who sets all of us back by describing herself as the typical Dallas girl.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, big boobs. I am 100% a Dallas girl.
Oh, God.
What's wrong with that?
You were attracted to her.
That's what Dallas girls are, and it's okay.
Every Dallas girl takes pride in that.
Was I attracted to her, or did her obvious plastic surgery put me off a bit?
She would get your first look.
Man, I don't know. Yeah, maybe at a distance. But she's fairly young, I think. But it looks
she's like the she's, old one, Tara, right?
Yeah, I mean, young by...
36.
Yeah. Young enough to where she doesn't need loads of plastic surgery.
And she has a really nice place in Preston Hollow, lives down the street from her parents and their big mansion.
However, mm-hmm. the house that they showed her in, that's her parents' house.
That's her parents' house.
Yes. So she was prancing about the parents' house as though that was hers.
Right. Didn't we all do that?
Yeah.
All right, Courtney... is at breakfast in one scene, and the guys are saying, "Yeah, you don't know what you want. You don't know what you're looking for in a man." And she says, "Oh, yes, I do." She has a very specific checklist as to what will make her happy.
I remember at 22 thinking, "Oh, by the time I'm 30, I'll have like 19 kids and 14 dogs, but I'm not going to settle.
Who I want to date has to meet certain criteria. Not that there's a checklist, but... He's tall, he's like JFK Jr. kind of hair, he's probably really funny, he's from a southern family, he probably left Texas for a little bit, like went to school and like is coming back because this is like where he wants his family to be. So he plays golf probably and wears like those little polos and he has like his, like the golf club that he plays at. He has a globe in his office that like his mentor probably gave him. He wears boots, like he can dress up and wear like a designer suit, but then at the same time he can wear like a Ralph Lauren polo and like cowboy boots. He could go to the ranch, or he could go to, like, a fashion show. Probably has a dog that has, like, a really manly name, like Butch or Duke or... These are very specific. What else?
Nut alert.
Okay, they're kind of wronging her on this a little bit.
No, she talks like that all the time.
Okay, but they've asked her a specific question. Describe specifically what you want to go. I don't know, just a, you know, a nice guy who's, you know, handsome. Well, no, I mean, really get into it. Really tell us specifically what you want. Like, yeah. Imagine, fantasize about this guy, and then tell us exactly... And then they take what she says and make it seem like she was off and running on that.
Did they tell her to use like as every fifth word?
No, they didn't.
Well, that's a sign of being hip and young, right?
And you're kind of looking there for what sort of person you want to deal with, right? Not just what he looks like in a polo shirt.
I'm telling you,
they
look
super hot in boots, and
they coached her that way.
Like a globe. Shut up.
All right. Throughout the debut episode of Most Eligible Dallas, Matt Nordgren talks about just how great he is, and he can't help it.
Yeah.
I consider myself a total package, for sure. Everything I've done in my life, I've been groomed to be a great man.
Oh, we have a lot of great sponsors here.
You know, one thing my mother always told me is when you walk in a room, own it. And I've always done that.
Pleasure to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Where are you from? Oh, really? You have an accent?
Lithuania.
All the way from Lithuania?
All the way from Lithuania. Just meet you.
Is that a direct flight?
I manage the entire sales force for my family energy business. My father started 35 years ago. I'm able to afford all the things that I want right now. If you can get to that point, the world sort of becomes your playground.
He's got it all figured out.
Hey, he's the total package, and he's not going to run from that fact.
Hey, he doesn't just, he's not in sales. He manages an entire sales force.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just say he's
okay,
in sales.
You can have one salesperson working with you, and if you're the manager, that's the entire sales force.
Right.
Hey, he's been groomed for a long time to be a great man.
What if he's telling the truth?
And he can afford whatever he wants. The world is his playground.
He's never really groomed for the starting quarterback job at Texas.
Okay.
But
well, that's a shot.
He went down there and he did play in 04. He threw one pass, completed it for 7 yards.
That's 100%.
And in 05, he was 6 of 11. And he had no touchdowns, and one of those 11 was an interception. And that was his career at Texas. There's another football player on the show, and his name is Glenn Pakulak, or Pakulak, or Pakulak, I don't know.
Yeah.
He was a punter at the University of Kentucky, and he talks about all of the teams that he's played for in the NFL. And the list is long, and we're going to get to that here in just a moment, how much he actually played in the NFL. But as he's introducing himself to everybody on Most Eligible Dallas, he just wants everyone to know that he cannot control his manliness.
When I walk into a room, I love to be on the prowl.
Yeah, of course. I go to mass every Sunday.
Like my home base where I'll post up, but then I'll know where each one of the ladies are at, and I can kind of start making my way through the whole room.
Do you speak Polish?
Don't speak it.
You know what dime me bougie means?
What's that?
Give me a kiss in Polish.
I just have too much testosterone running through my body. I was watching Family Feud with my mom, and welcome the Albertsons family, and all of a sudden, like, this family of, like, three smoking hot chicks walks out, and I gotta leave the room. What is wrong with me? I can't watch Family Feud without getting turned on.
Yeah, you are an idiot. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, gosh.
So one scene, they show him with his personal trainer getting ready for this photo shoot that he's got in a couple of days. So he's talking to his personal trainer, and here's where he brings up his NFL career.
So what do you think, man? I got that shoot coming up, and I just want to fine-tune everything beforehand, you know? Working out is such a part of my life. I'm a punter in the NFL. I've been lucky enough to play with a bunch of teams throughout my career. Gosh, I almost got down pack now. It's Washington Redskins, New Orleans, New York Jets, Tennessee, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Oakland, Chicago. Give me a second. And now again, Oakland Raiders. I don't want to be one-dimensional. I don't want to be where I'm just a big fitness guy. And I don't want to be, like, real skinny. Yeah.
So we want the body to shine like it's a blooming flower.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so he listed all of those teams that he's played for, that he's punted for in the NFL. Go to profootballreference.com. He has played in 10 games total in the NFL. In 08, 8 for the Saints. And in 09, 2 for the Redskins. So all those other teams, the Seahawks, Steelers, Falcons, Raiders, Titans, Bears, Jets, and Chargers, they all signed him in the offseason but released him before training camp or during training camp. So
and the way he's reeling it off, it's like a sign of success.
Yeah.
How many teams have wanted me? God, let me go through them, man.
He said I've been fortunate enough to play.
Lucky enough to play for all these teams.
He's been able to experience free agency to its fullest.
Yeah, right. It's not the Matt McBrier career you want where you're an all-pro and you make millions of dollars. You're lucky enough to get cut by eight teams and play in 10 games. games after the age of 31.
I also have a clip of him talking about his handsomeness as he's getting... this is the photo shoot that he was getting ready for. And this is the girl talks kind of about his past.
I feel like I'm just like a natural born poser. I always feel like everywhere I go, even if there's not a camera going, that like I'm on camera.
Your abs make the picture.
I was definitely a good-looking kid when I was younger. I never had an ugly duckling face. I've just been this pretty ever since I was a child.
Good Lord.
He has been lucky.
He is. He is a poser.
Yeah, not the kind he means, though.
All right, so here's my question about this show and these people. When they watch this program, certainly they all sat around and they all watched their debut. Do they think, wow, that was great? Or do they cringe and think, oh my God, I'm making myself look so self-centered, I can't stand this? Or is it whole? Is it part of being on TV that they sold their soul to be on television, that the creators wanted it to be as superficial as possible, and so they all agreed to play it up?
That's the bottom line. They are so thrilled that they're on television, and obviously you hear them talk, they're saying their favorite subject themselves mm-hmm. on TV, so no, I don't think they're like, oh no, and cringing. I think they're like, they've arrived.
You know what? I truly think, as I mentioned before, I think they're coached into being this way and honing down. Yes, they have that in them.
Yeah,
yes.
They coach them, there's no doubt.
But they coach them and they edit it to make it look more like that, because that's your storyline. You knew what the storyline was going to be before you even started the show. You want the douchiest people in the world, and if they aren't the douchiest, you're going to edit them to make them look the douchiest. Mm-hmm. And you're going to set them up, and if they say, yeah, we're going to go just head down to the loon for a beer. No. This is on our tab. You guys go to the W. Go hang out and have some drinks. And
get a little confrontational with her if she starts bringing up her dating life again. You know?
I've heard from some people that, you know how they portray them as really close friends, all these people, you know, they're all friends with Matt or whatever, that... it was kind of more cast, and they were thrown together. And
see, I kind of got that
sense. You guys are
it.
Close friends.
Yeah, I got that sense watching it, that they weren't great friends. They were just kind of thrown together. It's like a cast of Survival or something, or Survivor.
Yeah, Survival.
Oh. All right, so here's the image that's being portrayed: that everybody here is a douchebag. That everybody here is just into themselves and their money and basically soulless. Is there something to that? I mean, is there a reason?
Yeah.
Is there a reason that Bravo picked Dallas, and they're trying to find the best or worst of Dallas, and they're coaching him up? Is that the image that everybody has of the Metroplex?
Yes,
and there's a lot of that in the Uptown / Preston Hollow area. There's a lot of that.
Sure, absolutely. There's a reason why that's a stereotype. There's truth to it. But here's the thing: I think that the being douchey, Chrissy guy, I think it works out for so many people. Everyone bags on it, and women will bag on it, but the guys are successful. I mean, those douchey guys are nailing the hottest women in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we all sit on the sideline and make fun of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with some women, that's what they're looking for.
Absolutely.
Looking for a guy that's, you know, got game. And the game is, where do you work? What kind of clothes you wear? Do you look hot in boots? And what kind of car you got? And if you got that, I'll sleep, brother.
And so if you don't have that, you just need to make fun of people who do have that.
Right.
Or is some of the making fun of valid in that it portrays the city in a bad light, and those people may really be kind of soulless? And is that what you want your kids to grow up to be? Like that? The apple of everybody's eye, supposedly?
I guess you compare it to... Okay, so the person who's soulful is the guy who is, you know, the hipster who's putting on a little bit of different costume and going to the dive bar and drinking his Pabst and playing that role. That's soulful.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, the question is,
what is
if
soulful?
One's soulless, then yeah. How is this other one not soulless too? Just because he likes a specific list of indie bands.
Mm-hmm.
He's soulful?
Well, maybe he's soulless too. I don't know.
Right. Maybe they're all kind of soulless.
Yeah.
But these people seem to be a cut above in the soulless category, don't they?
Because they don't pretend to be unmaterialistic?
Right.
Non-materialistic?
It appears that materialism is their religion. Much more so than
what's
anybody.
More American than that? I mean, that's what it's about. You're a good consumer. You like to spend money.
Yeah, but
you make money and then you spend it.
But isn't it about consuming in a more modest way, not flaunting it? I mean, isn't that if you're?
It's weird that we do require such window dressing. We like you to have money and spend money, but just don't flaunt it. Don't make other people feel bad about it. And these people are all about show. All that whole uptown crowd is just a bunch of peacocks.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just throwing it out there, so maybe is that the way we should be? Is that what we should aspire to?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that. It still strikes me as douchey and wrong.
Oh, yeah. Just annoying is all get out.
But it seems to me like you look at their goals, and their goals are the same as every other genre of person there is in the age of 20-something to 35, which is they want to have grex with attractive people, and they want to party. And it seems like those are shared values across stereotypes.
Yeah.
And those Chris's seem to be pretty successful at it.
Just ask them.
Just ask them. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to ask them. Just say hi to them, and they'll tell you.
All
right, I can't watch any more of it. But
Really?
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you probably should tune in just for at least one episode, because you see a lot of Dallas scenes, and it'll make you cringe, or maybe you'll love it. Who knows?
I think I'm in every week.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why don't we get them up here?
Yeah, we ought to.
We can get some of them people up here.
All right.
Glenn the punter is on the Raiders roster right now.
Is he?
He's the backup, Shane Leckler. You know,
so he's at camp?
Yeah.
Glenn's at camp right now. All right, 8:30.